This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. This is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. This course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear. But what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. The purpose of this workbook is to train your mind in a systematic way to a different perception of everyone and everything in the world. It is doing these exercises that will make the goal of this course possible. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. Transfer of training in true perception does not proceed as does transfer of the training of the world. If true perception has been achieved in connection with any person, situation, or event, total transfer to everyone and everything is certain. Remember that one exception held apart from true perception makes its accomplishments anywhere impossible. The very nature of true perception is that it has no limits. It is the opposite of the way that you see now. Good morning. This is a continuation of the mind training of this Course in Miracles, offering to you the complete alternative in the idea that the new self of you is beginning to emerge in the particulars of your own mind. It's early in the morning here at the Academy, and I've come to be alone with myself. One of the fundamental teachings that we employ in our devices of conversion include the possibility that by continuing to examine your relationship, this is called meditation, isn't it? It's the idea that you could be by yourself for just a moment and begin to experience the wholeness of you that is a provision of your natural inheritance. And hopefully, I am representing you very early in the morning now, sitting here as an entity of consciousness, demonstrating your innate capacity to have a bright experience of an alternative. We call that A Course in Miracles, isn't it? It's a systematic way that you are employing right now, sitting all alone with me early in the morning. Here I am. Huh? I look around and I say, here I am. But notice that I am having an experience of what we might even call a direct union with an alternative of whole mind based on this moment in time. Those of you who are not familiar with this Course in Miracles, this is a continuing practice of yourself, of your misidentity, of your ego, of yourself, to express the availability of an instant alternative that will show you the perfection of your own mind, and the progress that you are making is very evident. We're into the 90s now, aren't we? We just finished with the idea that you are perfect and whole as God created you. Now, we're going to tackle, and this is fundamentally a little difficult to begin with, your admission that whatever you are, there's only one of you. And whatever that is, will be perfect as God created you. For those of you who aren't familiar with the Course, we're going to open, if you'll tolerate this, with just the first three lessons of this mind training. And they're going to direct you to how fundamentally you have accepted the idea that the you that you thought you were is not true. And that what you saw out there in the world was just a figment of your own imaginative unreality, and that you, in fact, didn't understand anything. And I hope you tolerate that just for a minute, because it may show you, who are not accustomed to this presentation, how this bright, new, continuing alternative was arrived at. So let's watch the first three lessons. So let's begin this mind training now with lesson number one, which says, everything I see is meaningless. Nothing I see in this room, on this street, from this window, or in this place means anything. Now look around you and let's begin immediately to practice what we're going to say. This table doesn't mean anything. This chair doesn't mean anything. This hand that I'm looking at, my hand, means nothing. My foot doesn't mean anything. This pen on the table doesn't mean anything. This lesson doesn't mean anything. Now let's look just a little further out away from us. Not immediately here, but in a more distant perspective. That door over there doesn't mean a thing. This body doesn't mean anything. That lamp doesn't mean anything. That sign over there, that didn't mean anything. That shadow doesn't mean a thing. Here you are walking around saying nothing means anything. Notice that these statements are not arranged in any order and make no allowance for differences in the kind of things to which they're applied. This is the purpose of the exercise. The statement should merely be applied to anything you see. As you practice the idea for the day, use it totally indiscriminately. Do not attempt to apply it to everything you see, for these exercises should not become ritualistic. Only be sure that nothing you see is specifically excluded. One thing is like another as far as the application of the idea for today is concerned. The reason for that is very simply that nothing you see really means anything. Now let's go on to number two. I have given everything I see in this room or on this street or from this window or in this place all of the meaning that it has for me. The exercises with this idea are the same as those for the first one. Begin with the things that are near you and apply the idea to whatever your glance rests on. Then increase the range outward. Turn your head so that you include whatever is on either side. If possible, turn around and apply the idea to what was behind you. Remain as indiscriminate as possible in selecting subjects for its application. Do not concentrate on anything in particular, and do not attempt to include everything you see in a given area, or you'll introduce strain. Remember, you've given everything you see all the meaning that it has. Glance around easily, fairly quickly. Try to avoid selection by size, brightness, color, material, or relative importance to you. Take the subject simply as you see them. Try to apply the exercises with equal ease to a body or a button or a fly or a floor, an arm or an apple. The sole criteria for applying the idea to everything is merely that your eye has lighted on it. Make no attempt to include anything particularly, but be sure that nothing is specifically excluded. So you have the lesson number two. You have given everything that you see all the meaning that it has. Now listen, lesson number three. I do not understand anything that I see in this room or on this street or in this window or in this place. In fact, I don't really understand anything that I see anywhere. Apply this idea in the same way as the previous ones without making distinctions of any kind. Whatever you see becomes a proper subject for applying the idea. Be sure that you do not question the suitability of anything for application of the idea. These are not exercises in judgment, and anything that you see is suitable. Some of the things you see may have emotionally charged meaning to you. Try to lay such feelings aside and merely use these things exactly as you would anything else. The point of the exercise is to help you clear your mind of all past associations, to see things exactly as they appear to you right now, and to realize how little you really understand about them. It is therefore essential that you keep a perfectly open mind, unhampered by judgment, in selecting the things to which the idea for the day is to be applied. For this purpose, one thing is like another, equally suitable and therefore equally useful. Just keep an open mind and admit that you do not understand anything that you see. So, nothing you see means anything? You have given it the meaning that it has, and you don't understand it. The progress that you are making would indicate that you have located within your own association with yourself a real, new, bright alternative to the ego of self-defense that previously identified yourself. And that bright new reality that we're sharing now is the process that you are experiencing with me. Did it begin fundamentally with the admission that there is no world? Okay, and that the alternative was the admission that the construction of the illusion was contained in your conceptual mind. And that the availability of an alternative was within the prospect of your search within a realm of slow time where the availability could not be expressed. What you've really learned in this mind training is a practice of here and now. It's a practice of being, just for a moment, with me as I sit here early in the morning, okay, representing a moment of wholeness that we can share together, because very fundamentally, since remember the last 90, you are as God created you. It's impossible that our minds are not fundamentally expressing the same certainty, that of eternal life. And no matter how much we've disguised it in the projections of our false self, in our attempts to retain this image of momentary construction within space-time, and sequence it in the possibility of past and future reference, at this time and in this place, and early on this morning, or late at this night, or in this 10 minutes that you've taken off from the travail of representing yourself out in the world, in this practice, you are continuing to have this experience. So, what are we expressing to you now? That one self that you're beginning to feel in the joy of the recognition that you are whole as God created you. Let's look just for a minute at the previous lesson, I am as God created me. That will give us a reference in the fundamental admission of the truth of that this alternative is available to us. I am as God created me. Watch. And now very truly the whole condition of the matter, lesson 94. I am as God created me. Today we continue with the one idea which brings complete salvation, the one statement which makes all forms of temptation powerless, the one thought which renders the ego silent and entirely undone. You are as God created you. The sounds of this world are still, the sights of this world disappear, and all the thoughts that this world ever held are wiped away forever by this one idea. Here is salvation accomplished. Here is sanity restored to you. True light is strength, and strength is sinlessness. If you remain as God created you, you must be strong, and light must be in you. He who ensured your sinlessness must be the guarantee of strength and light as well. You are as God created you. Darkness cannot obscure the glory of God's Son. You stand in light, strong in the sinlessness in which you were created and in which you will remain throughout all eternity. I am as God created me. I am His Son eternally. Now try to reach the Son of God in you. This is the self that never sinned nor made an image to replace reality. This is the self that never left its home in God to walk the world uncertainly. This is the self that knows no fear, nor could conceive of loss or suffering or death. Nothing is required of you to reach this goal except to lay all idols and self-images aside and go past the list of attributes, both good and bad, you have ascribed to yourself, and wait in silent expectancy for the truth. God has Himself promised that it will be revealed to all who ask for it. You are asking now. You cannot fail, because He cannot fail. I am as God created me. I am His Son eternally. Make every effort to do this in your hourly exercises today. Each one you do will be a giant stride toward your release and a milestone in learning the thought system which this course sets forth. So, you're as God created you, and so am I. And so is everything that you see, because the source of your reality is singular. All of the attempts of your conceptual mind to justify variant ideas concerning objective reality are totally meaningless to my mind, because I'm certain that your mind is whole. And the reason that I'm certain that your mind is whole is because I am expressing the singular self that you cannot not be. There is one self, and that we share with God. Let's practice it just for a moment. You came into this setting with me. You're saying, I heard there's an advanced teacher, someone who's going to explain the particulars of the Course in Miracles to me. Somebody who's going to show me an alternative in an illuminant experience of my mind. And that's precisely what, as a teacher of God, I am attempting to do with you at this time. And as you go out into the world, having practiced the discovery of the alternative in your mind, that's precisely and exactly what you're going to do, isn't it? The lesson coming up says that the self that you have identified is very fearful. It exists in a containment of a past reference of dark form, okay, that pretends as a parity to represent life. And the very simple fact of the matter, remember the first three videos? Everything that you see here meant absolutely nothing. I'm glad you joined me this morning and are accepting some very fundamental premises that will be necessary for you as you begin to practice this experience. Yes, there is one self, and that we share with God. Then, the idea that the wholeness and conversion and realization of eternal life depends on that self, which is you. Here's a step that I can help you make if you want to. If you can accept fundamentally from me that all of the separation that you view in your objective association of self-identity with the bodies, with the forms, with the humans, with the chaos of what's going on in this world is only within your own mind, the solution is going to be much easier for you, isn't it? Because this teaching, my discovery, that the conversion must occur within my mind is the basis for the alternative that we are offering you in the admission that in a literal sense, the salvation of the world depends on the change of your mind about who you thought you were. Because who you thought you were and who you may still think you are there in this moment of separation is simply not true. You looking at me right there? With the idea of trying to figure out what it is that this guy's sitting here early in the morning. Did you hear the bird calls that went on when we came on the video? Those are virtual bird calls. They're not actually a bunch of birds there. But then again, this is pretty virtual, isn't it? If you'll begin to share with me the instantaneous possibility of a whole conversion of your mind, you could watch this video without any other references to any videos or any course training or anything whatsoever, since I could only be giving you the single message of your own entirety. Look at me. I'm telling you, you are whole and perfect as God created you and that you have no alternative of it. By being determined in your own mind that there is no alternative, you will begin to express instantaneously a continuing conversion of your own conceptual thought form. And that will make you very happy because you don't have to defend the old you that you thought was real. How very fundamental this teaching is. Together then, let's watch these 90s, okay? We'll watch just at least one of them. It's going to say very simply that we share a single self. I might remind you, this is the fundamental teachings of my Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know how you view the New Testament, and I'm not concerned about it, but it might be important for you to see that in my recognition of his saviorship was literally my salvation, because his attention to me showed me that he was representing me in my wholeness. That's what the Christian idea of conversion of mind is. The author of this procedure of conversion, who is Jesus of Nazareth, says very simply, ourselves are the same. He says, I come from God to represent your wholeness. You also come from God and are not from here. So let's look at the idea of that singular self and possibly the idea that the salvation of the entirety of this dream of separation depends on the self that you are now discovering. Watch. So we're looking at the inevitability that there's only going to be one of you, no matter what you pretend. I am one self, united with my Creator. Today's idea accurately describes you as God created you. You are one within yourself and one with Him. Yours is the unity of all creation. Your perfect unity makes change in you impossible. You don't accept this yet, and you fail to realize it must be so only because you believe that you've changed yourself already, and it's not true. Look, you see yourself as a ridiculous parody on God's creation. Okay, look at the human being. Weak, vicious, ugly, sinful, miserable, beset with pain. Such is your version of yourself, a self divided into many warring parts, separate from God and tenuously held together by its erratic and capricious maker, to which you actually pray. It doesn't hear your prayers, for it's deaf. It does not see the oneness in you, for it is blind. It does not understand you are the Son of God. Why? It's senseless and understands nothing. We're going to attempt today to be aware of only what can hear and see and what makes perfect sense. And we want you to see it at this time if you can. It's difficult for some of you in your own minds to undertake this exercise because you still lack a little mental discipline in the mind training to let yourself release yourself momentarily to actually see who you are. That's why some regularity in terms of time, while it's not ideal in its most beneficial form, is necessary for you in order that you'll actually take time out from your associations with yourself to feel how reasonable is the idea that you can lay down your defenses. If you forget it, there may well be a little temptation to regard the day as lost because you've already failed to do what is required. Don't worry about that. This should merely be recognized as what it is. Your refusal to let your mistakes continue to be brought to the alternative that's going to be inevitable in you anyway. There are attempts to keep you unaware of who you really are, and the truth is going to be all around you no matter what you do. So let's relax for a moment and not be concerned about all our misadventure in trying to figure out what this is about. Why? I'm one self, united with my Creator, at one in every aspect of creation, and limitless in power and in peace. And now we're at the crux of it. I am one self. You are one self, united and secure in light and joy and peace. You are God's Son, one self, with one Creator and one goal, to bring awareness of this oneness to all minds, that true creation may extend the allness that is the unity of God. Listen, you are one self, complete and healed and whole, with power to lift the veil of darkness from the world and let the light in you come through to teach the world the truth about yourself. Listen. You are one self in perfect harmony with all there is and all that there ever will be. You are one self, the Holy Son of God, united with your brothers in that self, united with your Father in His will. Feel this one self in you now and let it shine away all your illusions and your doubts. This is yourself. The Son of God Himself, sinless as its Creator, with His strength within you and His love forever yours. You are one self, and it is given you to feel this self within you and to cast all your illusions out of the one mind that is this self, the holy truth that is you. We need your help with this. You listening to this? Your little part in bringing happiness to all the world is what we need. And heaven looks to you in confidence that you will try today. Share then its surety, for it is yours. Be vigilant. Don't forget today. Throughout the day, do not forget your goal. Repeat today's idea as frequently as you can. And understand, each time that you do so, someone hears the voice of hope, the stirring of the truth within his mind, and the gentle rustling of the wings of peace, very simply because of your thought. Your own acknowledgement you are one self, united with your Father, is a call to all the world to be at one with you. To everyone you meet today, be sure to give the promise of today's idea. You are one self with me, united with our Creator in this self. I honor you because of what I am and what he is, who loves us both as one. Now let's take a look at our certainty that salvation comes from this one self that we're talking about, and that in actuality that one self is spirit. Although you are one self, you experience yourself as two, as both good and evil, loving and hating, mind and body. This sense of being split into opposite induces feelings of acute and constant conflict and leads to frantic attempts to reconcile the contradictory aspects of this self-perception. You have sought many such solutions and none of them has worked, and they never will. The opposites you see in you will never be compatible because only one of them actually exists. The fact that truth and illusion cannot be reconciled no matter how you try, what means you use, and what you see as the problem, must be accepted if you would be saved. Until you have accepted this, you'll attempt an endless list of goals that you can't reach, a senseless series of expenditures of time and effort, hopefulness and doubt, each one as futile as the one before, and failing as the next one surely will. Listen, problems that have no meaning cannot be resolved within the framework they are set. Two selves in conflict could not be resolved, and good and evil have no meeting place. The self you make can never be yourself, nor can yourself be split in two, and still be what it is and must forever be. Listen, a mind and a body cannot both exist. Make no attempt to reconcile the two, for one denies that the other can be real. If you are physical, your mind is gone from your self-concept, for it has no place in which it could really be a part of you. If you are spirit, then the body must be meaningless to your reality. Spirit makes use of mind as means to find its self-expression, and the mind which serves the spirit is at peace and filled with joy. Its power comes from spirit, and it is fulfilling happily its function here and its only reason for being here. Yet mind can also see itself divorced from spirit and perceive itself within a body it confuses with itself. Without its function, then, it has no peace, and happiness is completely alien to its thoughts. Yet mind apart from spirit cannot think. It has denied its source of strength and sees itself as helpless, limited, and weak. Dissociated from its function now, it thinks it is alone and separate, attacked by armies massed against itself and hiding in the body's frail support. Now must it attempt to reconcile unlike with like, for this is what it thinks that it is for. Waste no more time with this. Who can resolve the senseless conflicts which a dream presents? What could the resolution mean in truth? What purpose could it serve? What's it for? Salvation cannot make illusions real, nor solve a problem that does not exist. Perhaps you hope that it can. Yet, would you have God's plan for the release of his dear son bring pain to him and fail to set him free just because this is your wish? Yourself retains its thoughts, and they remain within your mind and in the mind of God. The Holy Spirit holds salvation in your mind and offers it the way to peace. Salvation is a thought you share with God because his voice accepted it for you and answered in your name that it was done. Thus is salvation kept among the thoughts yourself holds dear and cherishes for you. Salvation comes from this one self through him who is the bridge between your mind and it. Wait patiently and let him speak to you about yourself and what your mind can do, restored to it and free to serve its will. Salvation comes from my one self. Its thoughts are mine to use. If you succeed, the thoughts that come to you will tell you you are saved and that your mind has found the function that it sought to lose. Yourself will welcome it and give it peace and restore its strength, and it will flow from spirit to to the Spirit in all things created by the Spirit itself. So each time today and in this lesson that we're sharing, tell your frantic mind that salvation comes from your one self and that you will lay another treasure in your growing store of holy instances. And all of it is given everyone who asks for it and will accept the gift. Think then how much is given unto you to give this day, that it be given to you, because what? Because you are Spirit. What a dramatic expose that lesson is, isn't it? It allows you on a continuing basis to recognize a complete alternative, not based on the you that's been walking around in this world. My assignment, the purpose for me being here at this time and in this place as a representation of a complete alternative to you, is to show you at this time and in this place individually, not in consort with the old projections of your ego mind, okay? Not in a relationship with the apparent time alternative that you have found that identifies you as a body, but in the certainty that that self that you are experiencing at this moment is the only consciousness self that there is in the entire universe. And it will help you if you will admit fundamentally that the alternative self by which you have constructed yourself and this world is also only within your own mind. Now, what have we done? We've made available to you the complete alternative so that you have a very valid choice in whether you want to continue again and again to process a self-identity that holds you in the bondage of the moment of separation, or would rather share with me at this time and in this place the moment when terror took the place of love, so that the real self in you has become available as a complete alternative. Are you ready for this there, watching this? You are responsible for this world, this little place in space-time that contains all of the memory patterns of your own human mind are actually over and gone. They are literally not here. If you can accept from me on this very early, bright, whole morning that the practice of converting the contingencies of your own conceptual self have now made available to you in this instant a merger of our previously separate associations with ourself, you will, together with me, experience your whole self. Does the salvation of this world depend on this new self that's emerging? How could it not? You are responsible for this world. Everything that you see in it is a reflection of your own conceptual identity. What you learned from me in this practice, it was always going to be over and gone anyway. You have begun to have an experience, quantum we call it, don't we, of a here and now that shows you, showing you that alternative. Yes, and the joy you will be experiencing in the discovery of your whole self will not in any way be connected to the old conceptual self that you previously used to defend yourself from the effects of your own misidentity. I don't know where you're hearing this, in what vernacular you employ conceptually in order to justify a purpose and reason why you would be here when a complete alternative is available to you in a reality that transcends any old dream of death that you've ever had. But I can assure you of this, that what I'm offering you right now at this time and place is your own whole self. And if you'll accept it from me, you will see immediately that it has nothing to do with the world whatsoever. Nothing whatsoever. Because the lesson with which we are going to conclude this space-time interval, when we got together early in the morning and sat just for a moment and began to practice this experience, is going to say, I am spirit. It's going to say to you that you're not a body, that you're free, that you're still as God created you. So this new self that you're discovering is a creative reality from the single eternal source of reality, which is what the universe is. Okay, the admission of the responsibility for this world was an imperative in a literal sense, because your conceptual mind is responsible for what you're seeing in this world. Now we're going to take a look just for a moment at that idea and the idea that you are spirit. Watch. And here we are at the crux of the whole teaching. Today's idea identifies you with your one self. It accepts no split identity, nor tries to weave opposing factors into unity. It simply states the truth. Practice this truth today as often as you can, for it will bring your mind from conflict to the quiet fields of peace. No chill of fear can enter here, for your mind has been absolved from madness, letting go illusions of a split identity. We state again the truth about yourself, the Holy Son of God, who rests in you, whose mind has been restored to sanity. Listen, you are the Spirit lovingly endowed with all your Father's love and peace and joy. You are the Spirit which completes himself and shares his function as creator. He is with you always as you are with him. Listen now about time. Today we'll try to bring reality still closer to your mind. Each time you practice, awareness is brought a little nearer, at least. Sometimes 1,000 years or more are saved. The minutes which you give are multiplied over and over, for the miracle makes use of time, but it's not ruled by it. Salvation is a miracle, the first and the last. The first is the last, for it is one. You are the Spirit in whose mind abides the miracle in which all time stands still. The miracle in which a minute spent in using these ideas becomes a time that has no limit and that literally has no end. And if you give these minutes at this time, you begin to feel the joy of a continuity of time that is continuous as long as you represent yourself as a body. Now, we're going to be glad if you'll even give us 5 minutes of each hour from your hands and carry them around this aching world where pain and misery appear to rule. Why? We'll not overlook one single open mind that will accept the healing gifts they bring, and he will lay them everywhere he knows they will be welcome. And they will increase in healing power each time someone accepts them as his thoughts and uses them to heal, because you're actually sharing the reality of a single thought, aren't you? Thus will each gift to him be multiplied 1,000-fold and tens of thousands more. And when it is returned to you, it will surpass in might the little gift you gave, as much as does the radiance of the sun outshine the tiny gleam that a firefly makes an uncertain moment and goes out. The steady brilliance of this light in the exchange of the power of these minds will remain and lead you out of darkness, nor will you be able to forget the way again. Listen. Spirit am I, a holy son of God, free of all limits, safe and healed and whole, free to forgive and free to save the world, because we're sharing with each other the single whole mind that we know we are as God created us. Did you watch that I Am Spirit? You're sharing with me the joy of the admission that the idea of spirit, in a particular sense, if you are spirit, excludes the necessity for the retention of the illusion of your body form. What that lesson said, and I know you'd enjoy looking at it with me, if that moment of entirety of communication, let's use quantum for a moment, showed you an instant of true reality, as the I Am Spirit lesson said, say to me, I want you to say to me, I can save 1,000 years. Say that. I can save 1,000 years. You say to me, how can you save 1,000 years? Time is over anyway. You were going to proceed with the particulars of your conceptual mind, operate on the idea that you were a body, and you were going to attempt to get old and die to prove somehow that the solution to your problem was here within time. Now you've run into me within your own procedure, and I'm telling you the solution is not in time, but an instantaneous recognition of who you are, because you're not a body, you're a spirit. But the fun part about the lesson says that in a literal sense, this is a miracle. You can snip out what could have taken you 1,000 years, all right, move back in time to a new association of yourself that is possible, go forward in time, and eliminate all the evidences of the continuation that would have been necessary for you to justify yourself in a conceptual continuity of sequential time that is literally not true. I just snipped out, this is the lesson, for you right there. You don't have to continue in that procedure. Not only is that true, you don't have to recognize how much has been taken out. What? It was always over and gone anyway. Come on. You can see instantly that the conversion is occurring within your concepts without any regard whatsoever to what your concepts were. This course, my mind, is absolutely, totally indifferent to your conceptual self, because at no single moment does it exist at all. Excuse me, I got a little excited there. Well, I better take a drink of my coffee. It's early in the morning here. This will be to you. This will be to the new you, perhaps, that you discovered in this lesson that the self that you thought you were is not true, that you are whole and perfect as God created you. And in this moment of sharing of this love, okay, through a process of an admission that we want the alternative, you have come into this new bright status. This is to you. The experiences that you're sharing with me are being demonstrated in the world, in all gatherings of conceptual minds that come together to represent particulars of their occupation, with individual discoveries of complete alternatives that are present with them in any gathering. In a literal sense, this is shortening time. Can you see this with me? If you can remember with me that the illusionary nature of time causes you to believe that it is sequential, and that this present condition should be based on your old associations is literally not true. If that's true, available within all of space-time at any instant is what we would call resurrection or physical conversion in which you would simply disappear from here. As many of you just did in this morning session. Can you see now within your heart what's happened to you? Do you see the bright alternative that's available to you that really doesn't have to do with the world? Are you going to be able to walk around in this world? Remember that lesson said, take 10 minutes every hour, wherever you're going, because the process is always available to you in its entirety. That's the joy that we're experiencing in this Course in Miracles. One of the great qualities of emotional conversion that will become evident to you is the nature of your newfound capacity to forgive. It becomes very easy to forgive what appears to be causing you all the pain in the reciprocity of the attention to yourself as you begin to discover a complete alternative that doesn't have to do with this world at all. Remember that lesson? God is the mind with which I forgive. I do not forgive with my own procedural evidence of my conceptual self, since I need to continue to attack myself in order to verify the idea that I could be separate from my Creator. How completely individual, then, this training from our Jesus Christ, from my Savior, Jesus Christ, was for you. It said very simply that I needed someone to represent my own wholeness till I could discover it in myself. And the teachers of God that are going out in the world now, not perfectly, but on a continuing alternative basis, are literally in expressing a discovery that they have made concerning a complete alternative. I'm glad you joined me this morning. I'm glad you were able to put up with a no-compromise alternative in the simple admission that you were sick and tired of what was happening in this world. You'd had enough of the idea of looking at this, what do we call it, a slaughterhouse, in this little dark form of what constituted your dream. You thought that this was life. Look at me. This is not life. What the world has represented to you is life. Is not life. The experience that you are having now is coming alive. What do we call this in the Christian idea? You're being born again, okay, in the realization that you were dead, that all of this dark form was nothing but a nightmare of your own mind. Yes, you are spirit. And yes, the experience that we have shared for this very short hour is available to the world through you. Remember that our teaching devices of miracle reassociations are always only demonstrations, okay, of the recognition of our true self, which is the love of God that we share. That light. Right there, that happiness that you're feeling is who you really are. And at the end of this video, if you want to turn, I don't know where you're watching this, but you want to get up from the table or you want to get up and look around and say, all of a sudden, I've discovered an alternative. Okay? Heretofore, I was trapped in the idea of the necessity to justify my old memory forms. All of a sudden, I got an alternative. I'm not a body. I'm spirit, and that spirit is all around me and available to me. And I'm going to share it through giving. And I can understand the fundamental concept that eternal life, the source of my reality, only gives. And in my giving, it will become available to me the energy of the universe in the expression of eternal life. My fervency. my need to demonstrate this to you is what I am. And if you'll take your place with me in your determination to express a continuing alternative from your entrapment in space-time, it'll be available to you. You can travel the stars and beyond with me. You won't be trapped in this little hovel of identity that has held you in the bondage of the nothingness of this place. Thank you once again, and I hope we'll see you again. I believe we're going to have to number this number 13. I hope you won't object to it. Say to me, that's my lucky number. Good. It may well be. Okay. I know some of you feel that you plan to come to this time and place with me and have this experience. That's not true. The provision for your coming to this time and place was always available to you, despite your intent not to allow the experience to happen. I'll see you again very soon. Thanks again for remembering that your whole self as the cause of this earth was the entirety to the solution of the loneliness and pain and loss that you thought was necessary in order to justify this meaningless world. We actually never meet for the first time, do we? We're always meeting somewhere in space-time. And when you're out in the world now, you're suddenly going to discover a new way to communicate, and it won't be based on the defense mechanisms that you had previously employed. It's an experience that we're sharing together, and the love and forgiveness that has become a part of what we are. I'll see you very soon. God bless us.